episode of Watch the Game, presented by the Nation Network. I'm your host, Sam Blazer, and as always, I'm joined by Cam Lewis and Adam Lascaris. Cam, how you doing today?
I'm pretty good.
Adam?
I'm doing okay. I just stumbled upon a tweet that somebody says that Richard Nixon's still alive, so I'm looking at that right now, but otherwise
I feel like it'd be ideal if when we were recording the podcast, you weren't just like browsing the web.
You're shook at this very moment.
I find the most interesting things, and that's about my only contribution. So, but yeah, I'm doing well.
We need that contribution. We're recording this right after the Anaheim Ducks defeated the Nashville Predators in overtime. Intense game. Game that the Ducks tried to blow the entire time. What do you guys think of that series thus far? It's a weird one for me because I'm not a big Ducks fan, as I've stated about 80 times on this podcast. But everything about it doesn't seem right to me. Adam, what are your thoughts on this series?
Yeah, I think, Randy Carlyle pulling off his own version of the system, whatever that is. I think it's good for hockey, I guess, as a whole, that, you know, the game today went like it did. You know, both sides sort of got, you know, a little bit of fun involved there, but, series getting tied up is always, you know, from a relatively neutral standpoint, I'd rather have a series that goes longer than a team taking a 3-1 lead.
That's true. Cam, what do you think?
Nobody is cheering for Anaheim.
No, nobody. Not a soul.
Not even Anaheim fans. Nobody is cheering for Anaheim. That team is so not likable. It's honestly out of control. It's a damn fucking shame that Nashville hasn't just won the series in 4 games so we can all move on with our lives. But I'm now worried that the Ducks are going to bullshit their way to a final in which they get to play the Ottawa Senators and win the Stanley Cup inexplicably, which would be very frustrating. But that seems like a reality. That said, I still think Nashville will come out on top because of the superior team, which is noticeable again today.
It's weird. They play, I think, a whole lot better brand of hockey the way that the Ducks play. Obviously, Adam, you brought it up, you know, quote-unquote Randy Carlyle system. I really, really like the way that the Preds are put together. Their forwards are kind of worrying as their depth, I think, there is kind of showing. But there have some moments where the defense can take over, and I think that may be able to take them over the hump. One of my favorite storylines thus far is the Ryan Johansson, Ryan Kessler interactions. What do you guys make of this, and is there anything there that do you think it's petty, or are you a big fan, Cam?
Ryan Kessler is a pair of balls. He is a a gutter dweller, a garbage eater, just a pair of balls, and he's just bad. And he was bad during the Oilers series, gets away with a lot of calls, and is really shitty. So it's nice to see. I mean, he's obviously in Johansson's head. If Johansson's going out publicly and being like, oh, Kessler's this, X, Y, and Z, I mean, that's Kessler's goal. But I think it's funny that they make a spectacle about it. I don't know. Like, whenever anybody's slandering Ryan Kessler's name, it's a good thing. I mean, the guy has a fucking tattoo that's the Superman S with a K. That's psychotic.
XYZ, yeah. Adam?
Yeah, I think it's always funny the way that, like, media always tries to find, like, a nice, like, 1v1 storyline in just about every playoff series. Like, if you want to go, we can talk about this one. We can talk about a few years ago with Duncan Keith and his comments about David Backus after he got cut. You can talk about, you know, Kadri versus Ovechkin this year. You can talk about Dubinsky versus Crosby. But, like, I think it's funny because it's often played up a bit by the media, where I guess it's like, you know, a soundbite gets caught on TV, or, you know, a visual gets caught on TV, and then suddenly the media scrum, you know, each player gets asked 3 or 4 questions about it, when in reality that could have been, you know, 15 seconds of the time, and they didn't even think about it for the rest of the game. So I think it's funny in the sense that that's sort of how the media has been portraying it, and how people are sort of trying to push that 1v1 narrative, when obviously the players have a whole lot more to focus on than just, you know, one or two quotes.
It's true. Johansson, I love, I was talking about how his family and friends should be ashamed of watching him play. What a great line to pull out and say. It's such a ballsy thing to say, and I kind of wish more people would talk like that. I do agree with Cam said, you know, he's obviously in his head a little bit, but I also think there's maybe been a little bit of gamesmanship as to not, you know, complain to the refs, but also complain to the refs there a little bit. Kind of, you know, talk about how he's trash, and then like kind of like look at the rest like, yeah, he's been doing this the entire time. Johansson's got so much skill, it's unbelievable. He's really great in what he does. But Kessler also, I think, is accomplishing his goal. But by the same token, Johansson is putting up points. He's has a pretty big shot differential advantage on him as well. So I think the advantage is obviously Johansson. But that overall, I think that's going to happen no matter what. That's one of the better lines in hockey with Arvidsson and Philip Forsberg. So what are you really going to do with that there? Do you think that there's a big advantage that the Ducks have anywhere at any position? Maybe you could, I mean, I could, you can't even say defense, maybe forward depth. Would you agree with that, Cam?
No, the thing the Ducks definitely have is they have like that veteran experience. Like, this was so noticeable in the Oilers series, is that Kessler, Getzlaff, and Perry have been around for so long, and they know the refs and the refs know them, and they just know the league and the playoffs inside out, that playing in these games is like playing in a regular season game for them. It's like they've been around and they've done it so many times that they just know what to expect, and they seem to get the calls their way. They can get away with stuff like Kessler can get away with his cross checks and gets laugh. And I mean, he won't get kicked out of draws and all these different things that a younger player like, say, Forsberg or Johansson wouldn't get, that like McDavid and Draisaitl wouldn't get. And that's been like noticeably advantageous to Anaheim throughout the playoffs. And if they do come out of this series, that again will be the theme for them, which as it was against Edmonton as well.
Adam?
I just got a question for you. Coming from your Blue Jackets point of view and in Columbus there, what do you make of the whole Johansson ordeal, and how do you feel, you know, looking back at, you know, his time in Columbus and how he's doing now? I guess just what's your take on the whole situation?
I like Johansson. I never really had any issues with him. There's something that happens in Columbus, and I know it happens in a couple other markets as well, is that once you get a good player, you know, or even a great player, you want him to be an absolutely excellent player. You see in the division itself, you have like Sidney Crosby, and you think to yourself, well, why can't we have a player that's like that? And so then they end up getting run out of town because they aren't that kind of player. Then there's narratives drawn about, you know, being lazy, doing this, doing that. I never had a problem with Johansson. This is one of the few trades out there that I think this is like a net, you know, positive for both teams. Johansson's really doing wonders for, you know, a skill center lacking, but now filled team with the Predators, and the Blue Jackets really needed a number one defenseman, and Seth Jones had a really great year, so I really can't be mad about it either way. But I'm still a big Johansson fan, and think that the way he plays hockey, he reminds me honestly of like a center, you know, like a basketball center. A lot of times he can just back up into a player and just kind of go into the low post and kind of just pick his options. It's interesting to see. And I think he's kind of almost like a right-handed Joe Thornton in that fact, where he's just kind of like slows the game down. He doesn't necessarily need to be going 100 miles per hour at all times. That's what at least I think about him.
He didn't work out in Columbus because he just got caught up in the lights and the hustle and bustle of downtown Columbus.
Exactly.
Couldn't work out with the Blue Jackets.
He couldn't survive
the nightlife.
Too many Wendy's.
Oh God,
man.
Too many Wendy's. Exactly. Too many Obama rallies that gave him gas.
Oh, is that where we want to go with this now? Jesus.
Yeah, we're going there now.
Adam?
I've just been sitting here waiting until we can go there.
For those that are out of the loop, which almost all of you are, considering this is very, very random, Cam pulled up a tweet.
We gotta say what actually happened here, which is Adam, who just sits there and fucking looks at people's tweets all goddamn day, searched your name with Obama in it on Twitter to find shit, and he found that. So I didn't have anything to do with this. I don't want to be painted with that brush.
Adam, what was the tweet?
Well, it was a tweet from Sam that
from 2010.
2010, yeah. And it was watching Obama is giving me gas. And I thought it was comparable to a certain Twitter user, Drill.
Never heard of him.
Like, I don't know. A very evergreen tweet, but yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it. I gave it a like. I didn't give it a retweet.
That's harsh but fair. Harsh but fair.
I'm waiting for like 3:30 a.m. so I can retweet it for the NHL Numbers account and leave it there for like 2 hours, then unretweet it, so nobody knows.
That's brutal. That's
but a, just
that's
see if brutal. It gets see if it gets picked up or not.
And it gets goes to like 1,000 retweets. It's just a viral sensation. Yeah, that's totally what's going to happen. Now, back to the point at hand, though, Adam. What do you make of the Johansson Kessler narrative? Do you care at all? Do you like the NBA almost aspect of it all, talking trash?
I mean, like, yeah, like I said, it's kind of it's just a 1v1 thing that they kind of care about. I mean, probably don't really care about all that much.
I'm sorry. I already asked you that question. What I wanted to ask you
I just guttered the conversation.
Was the forward depth, and if you think that's an advantage for them, where do you think the advantage lies for the Ducks, if at all?
That's like Adam's only analysis ever, is how much depth does a team have?
I think we made good points with before, you know, talking about the Ducks and being a bit of a veteran team. I'd say that Ryan Getzlaf and Corey Perry are probably, at this point, still the two most talented forwards in the series, and that plays to the advantage of the Ducks' favor. But I know, as far as I know, Raquel went out. I don't know if there's anything new about his injury, but if he's down, that you know, that might play a bit of a factor. Still a guy who's, you know, exceptionally underrated. You know, I guess hockey Twitter, stats Twitter, whatever you want to call it, a lot of people obviously picked up on his production this season, but he led the team by 33 goals, which is among the best in the league. So having him out could be an X factor, but yeah, obviously, if there's nothing out there, I can't speculate too much right now.
Hey, I get it. Now, I want to kind of switch gears, though, and talk about the Eastern Conference series, one between the Senators and the Pens. I don't get it at all. Cam, you kind of called this one, talking about how the Senators are playing.
Believe in the Sens, man.
Believe in the Sens? I still can't believe in them. But by the same token, the Penguins, I think, are kind of shooting themselves in the foot. Matt Murray is now healthy. They're not playing, and they have Fleury carrying the team. They have some injuries: Hornquist, Schultz, and then Rust, I believe. And then Crosby's kind of playing like a shell of himself right now. Is there any reason to believe that the Penguins are going to be able to come back, Adam?
I mean, I think there's about 20 reasons why the Penguins should be able to come back, and about like 15 of them could just be like Sidney Crosby. I think
it's only one. You can't say that just 15 times. That's only one thing. So that's six reasons.
But I think it's I think it's last night I was watching and I was a bit dumbfounded, but at the same time, just kind of been like, okay, this is the NHL playoffs. Weird things happen. I don't think too many people who watched last night's game were like watching and being like, okay, this is a dominant performance from a much better Ottawa Senators team. Obviously, they played well enough to put themselves in the right position and, you know, capitalize on a couple of strange bounces. But at the same time, you know, at the start of the series, you know, he said Pittsburgh's challenge is win three out of four games now.
That's correct.
To do that, like I don't think that's that's exactly the most challenging thing to do for you know, one of the best teams in the league.
Fuck, that could not have been a more Toronto Maple Leafs fan observation of the Ottawa Senators.
Oh, I could go way more Toronto Maple Leafs fan, but I'll stay a little bit neutral
in the center there. All right, Cam, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. People have to start believing in the Sens. Just believe in them. Like, it's a team of destiny, man. Like, shit happens.
I can't even accept that answer. I can't even accept that answer.
People like to tell themselves that, you know, the playoffs are entirely predictable and our, you know, shot attempt differentials are going to predict. I mean, yeah, no. I mean, people are largely right. The Sens are, they're bad. And, like, there isn't a hell of a lot of skill on their lineup. They kind of bullshitted their way through the playoff because they got to play low-seeded teams because of the way it's set up. But, like, Pittsburgh's just broken. I mean, like, their number one D-man right now.
I think a fair amount of credit to him.
Yeah, no, definitely. They have a system that makes it difficult for their team to score. And when you're Pittsburgh and, you know, Sidney Crosby's brain is goop, like, there's no Chris Letang. Like, the team doesn't have a hell of a lot of depth in the first place. Like, I don't know. It's not an ideal situation for them, and credit to the Sens for like playing this gutsy style that makes it really difficult on the lives of the Penguins, and they're probably going to come out on top, which is hilarious because I mean, what's actually really funny about this is as much as the Sens were mocked by Leafs fans and Toronto-centric media, this 2017 Sens run has a very good chance of being more successful than anything that like the new Leafs core does ever.
No, I agree with some of your points there. What I think is interesting about them is that they're playing kind of by committee. Carlson's obviously fantastic, and he's only playing on one leg. And you're seeing goals by all these different people. And I think they have good players, maybe slightly above average players. But they have a fair amount of them. Mark Stone's pretty good. I like Hoffman. I think Broussard was a... You know, even though I don't like the trade with Zibanejad over the past summer, I still think it's a pretty good player in his own right, at least for now. Burrows, I think maybe a little bit past his expiration date, but he still can pitch in here and there. And what's weird to me is that the Sens defense is not patchwork, but it's serviceable right now.
Well, there's one guy there. There's one pretty key player.
I already mentioned Carlson.
He's that whole team, basically.
Well, yeah, but I think that I don't think Fanouf's played bad. I don't really think that Mathot's played bad. CC not that great, but I think overall they haven't been terrible, at least with expectations and what people are drawing from them. What do you think, Cam? Do you think that the Senators are going to be able to hold on? Do you think they're going into the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, no, I think it's a pretty good chance. As like fucking hilarious as it is, that we're gonna see 10 years later a repeat of the 2007 Cup Finals, which is Anaheim and Ottawa, which would just be like hilarious.
U.S. fans would not tune in at all, and no. Why should we really give a shit about that? If we're being honest, I mean, I'm not a TV executive. It's not obviously growing the game, but if we had Predators in Penguins, I think that'd be a pretty fun series, at least from a casual fan perspective. There's a lot of name players you can, point to and say, hell, this is a pretty good series. But you get here, you're going to point out to Corey Perry, and you're going to be like, that guy used to have rabies. I'm kidding, but not kidding. He may have actually had rabies at some point in his life. There's just, I don't really care about the matchups at this point. And I think there's something about fan apathy as well, that if your team was in it and you got bounced, it's kind of like, should I really give a shit? How do you feel? Do you guys feel that way at all after your teams were bounced out?
Yeah, I'll just bounce in here. I think just going back to the TV rating point, I think it's funny. I mean, seeing a lot of people being like, oh man, Bettman's going to be crying all his liberal tears or whatever. If there's like a certain matchup.
What the fuck are you talking about? Nobody said that. You say that he did. Crying all of his liberal tears? Nobody has said
that. A lot of people would just be.
Are you just trying to shoehorn that shit to there? Holy fuck.
No, I'm just saying a lot of people say things like Bettman will start, crying if like Anaheim is playing Ottawa in the final or whatever. But I think it makes it seem like there's this narrative that the NHL, if Chicago isn't in the final every year, the NHL is suddenly going to go bankrupt. I don't know. It's kind of a fun thing, and I don't think anyone in the NHL office is sitting around twiddling the numbers, being like, okay, I hope that things go right for us tonight, and they're looking at some financial charts and being like, okay, we're going to explode if things don't go right in the final for us.
No, and they're already locked into a lot of these TV deals anyway, so it's not like the next season NBC is going to be like, actually, you don't get this money anymore. Or, same thing is not going to be happening to Sportsnet and within the next year or so. Obviously, some deals are going to be expired within the next, I think, 5 at least for the U.S. deal. So they obviously want to see some growth. But I think a down year in the viewership, who really cares? It's not that big a deal. Cam, do you have any feelings on that? Do you have any feelings on what Adam just said about Gary Bettman?
Yeah, I'm I do think that they want the American teams to succeed. I do think they want to see, Florida, Tampa Bay, Nashville, Anaheim, LA, those Sunbelt expansion, or not expansion teams, I guess, but those Sunbelt teams do well, but I think the league ultimately just cares about, like, entertaining an interesting playoff series. The first rounds suck because, like, none of them went to game seven, and the second round was pretty good, and this conference finals has clearly been significantly better. We're probably going to see two game sevens in both the series because that's how tight it's been, and I'm thinking that's probably what they want by and large, but I don't know, liberal Gary Bettman, that's the thing that I've seen thrown around. They just...
Snowflake Gary
Bettman. Can't get that fucking snowflake Gary Bettman in his goddamn safe space.
You said you had a scenario that you wanted to give Adam and I.
I'm gonna drop that when you guys aren't expecting it. I can't be... You can't just leave me.
That's how it's going to work. All right, fine, whatever. And maybe...
Can I pull up some...
Go ahead, I'm sorry. After you.
Oh, no, I was going to say, okay, so some fun stats, because we were talking about Eric Carlson, going a bit back before and all the Gary Bettman talk, but, I mean, it's been popped up on the TV screen a few times, but so far in the playoffs, the Senators, without Carlson on the ice, have scoring chance with 4% of 38, and have 10 goals without him on the ice in the entire playoffs, and 18 against. So some fun stats, which I think says a lot about Carlson. I think a lot of people have been saying this. If Ottawa makes the finals, he deserves the Conn Smythe either way. I agree. I don't think it's too much of a discussion. But
I think that the reason that the Sens have such favorable stats when Carlson is on the ice is, I mean, obviously, because he's fucking magnificent. The guy's like a unicorn. But it also has to do with the fact that their system's based around him being on the ice and him creating offense, because they're only puck-moving D, and the rest of the team, when he's not on the ice, just shuts down. So, like, obviously they're not going to generate scoring chances when fucking Cody Ceci and Dion Phaneuf are on the ice, like, laying on their ass in the defensive zone just trying to block shots. It's, like, the same thing with the Oilers when, like, Chris Russell's playing. It's, like, they're just, you know, they're just trying to break even.
What do you make of real quick? I want to talk about that Chris Russell just for a moment, because he's always a great topic of conversation. So, article came out a little bit speculative for my taste, but they said that if Sakara is going to be out for a while, then that they're going to have to sign Russell, and because of it, they're going to have to trade Jordan Eberle. What do you make of that article, Cam? I want to hear your spicy hot take.
I don't know. None of that really adds up. I mean, the only reason that Russell was able to be as effective as he was this year, which, I mean, I think he was, like, pretty solid this year, is because he played on Sakara's pair. And what happened was, is, you know, Russell would do his thing where he allows the player to bring the puck into the zone, collapses to the net, blocks a shot, kind of keeps him to the outside, stick check, gritty play, and then, you know, he can't make a pass to save his fucking life. He just, you know, shoots it off the boards, but every once in a while he'll throw it to Sakara, who will settle it down and make an outlet pass, and the Oilers will generate offense, and that's why it works so well between the two of them, largely because Sakara is so damn good. But if they sign Russell and expect him to be what he was with Sakara without Sakara, then they're going to be very sad. And if they play him alongside, say, Larson, then it's going to be a catastrophe for everybody involved. I think what it means is, regardless of
what happens, it'll be good content, though. But,
yeah, I mean, it'll be good fucking circle jerk, beat the shit out of the horse content for Twitter, but it'll just be like garbage trash for the Oilers.
Well, here's the deal, too. First, before I get to my point, I want to say that I had maybe my favorite Twitter interaction ever in regard to this article. I quote tweeted the article from David Staples, and I said, "A lot of mental gymnastics here." He tweeted at me and said, "Yes." I quote tweeted it and said, "Okay." I was just like, "All right, man, are you like agreeing that like what you just said was batshit crazy, or is like what's going on here?" I don't really.
Staples is actively admitted on Twitter that like what he writes is just like a lot of clickbait. That's his job. I mean, everyone. It's just like he plays the game with where he throws those headlines out there to stress out the analytics community, and they eat it up every single time. And then the Edmonton Journal gets a dickload of clicks, and he makes good money. It's just like it is what it is.
No, it's the dumbest thing in the world, and I mean, and everyone falls for it every single time. But I mean, hell, I even did. But I just thought it was funny. I was like, if you're gonna like read this, which a lot of people were like clicking on it and like, you know, having actual outrage, I was like, this is absolutely nuts. And it was just like, yes, I agree. I was like, okay. But
like back to the overarching thing, which is sign Russell, trade Eberle, that doesn't really add up. I mean, like, Eberle is the kind of the bad guy in the town right now because he's a dog shit during the playoffs. But, like, I don't know, like, he's in the past 3 years, he's scored at a higher even strength rate than, you know, like, Rick Nash and, like, a lot of other, you know, good players who are paid a lot more than that. I don't know who Edmonton's going to bring in to fill that production. Like, last year, say, like, Louis Erickson, Kyle Okpozo, David Backes, and Milan Lucic all made at least $6 million, and Andrew Ladd as well, and none of them scored as much as Eberle did this year. Like, you're not going to replace that production by, I don't know, throwing fucking Anton Slepyshev higher up in the lineup or signing some other, like, trash-ass player to a $4 million deal. It's just not going to happen. So just, like, you're not in a cap crunch yet. McDavid has 1 year left on his entry-level contract. Just play it out for another year and let him bring up his value. The Oilers, so many times, have traded a player at the bottom of their value, like Petrie, Gilbert, Gagne, Cogliano. Like, it's happened so many times.
Taylor Hall.
Yeah, I mean, even Hall, like, he wasn't even coming off his best year. If they're going to trade him, they may as well have done it during the lockout season when he was second in the Western Conference scoring. Capitalize on it then.
It's weird how, like, you can see a lot of the paths in which the GMs, like they're thinking. For instance, you know, you trade someone when their value's down. For the Blue Jackets, it was, ooh, they're having a good year, let's pay them a lot of money. You know, and for this, like, short period of time that they may never reach again. And that's something that I think, you know, you can kind of sort out, like, GM patterns like that. And I think a lot of times they're often overlooked as, you know, a one-off thing. But I think, you know, once you get yourself in a groove and once you're in a job for 2-3 years, or, you know, even if you're new in a job and you can take a look at, like, what they did before and another stop, I think that you can make a pretty good estimation of what they are as a general manager. I don't think it's too much of rocket science, at least trying to figure out what they're trying to do. Don't you think?
Okay. Unrelated note, but I have a question for the two of you guys. Think for the Blue Jackets and the Leafs right now, your guys' teams, would you take prime Mario Lemieux on those teams, like, right now? Like, how much better do you think a prime Mario Lemieux would make the teams?
A lot. Why? What?
Okay.
What are you getting at?
Hypothetical. Would you take a prime? Like a prime?
No, I would decline. Like, what do you mean? Would I take him?
No,
like,
I haven't finished it. Would you take a prime Mario Lemieux if the condition was you also get his evil cousin Wario Lemieux, who will do anything ever possible to sabotage Mario Lemieux? So this is his cousin Wario Lemieux is also on the team. And all is all just hell-bent on ruining this guy's fucking life. So, like, I mean, he could stab him before a game. He could, you know, I don't know, kill the coach, like, put cocaine in his locker room. He could, like, frame him for murder.
I'll let you take this first one.
You got Mario Lemieux on your team and Wario. What's that?
Does he only sabotage Mario, or does he sabotage the rest of the team?
He'll do anything to ruin Mario's life, meaning that anybody could get in the way. Like, who knows? Like, you know what Wario's like in the games, right? He's riding on his motorcycle, making noises, and blowing shit up. Yeah. I mean, kind of.
So,
but yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, are we going to be in the locker room, and, like, Mario's getting ready before the game, and, like, Wario comes in and, like, throws a jackhammer, and it hits Mike Babcock in the face, you know, like that kind of thing?
Absolutely could happen. If Wario decides, and you all know how enigmatic Wario is and how unreasonable that person is if he thinks it can ruin Mario's life, he'll do it.
Although,
and maybe he keeps it cool for the whole year, and they get to Game 7 of the Cup Finals. And then during the game, he puts LSD in Austin Matthews' water bottle, and he fucking trips out, and he, like...
Doc Ellis.
His life.
Doc Ellis.
Yeah, exactly.
Ellis,
I don't think Austin Matthews has the balls of Doc Ellis, so I don't think it would go over quite as well.
So,
but,
Adam,
so
I want your answer.
I'd take the risk.
You'd take the risk? But just think about, like, all the things that could possibly happen. Just imagine if...
What?
Mario Lemieux is on the Leafs now, and they've got great depth. Oh, wow, Mario Lemieux on the first line, Matthews on the second, Shelter minutes, Kadri, Manning the third. Holy fuck, what a good team, but... Also, Wario Lemieux is on the team.
Yeah, I think the main thing I think is if Wario, you know, like, outed his plan too early, we'd be like, you know, we'd see that the Leafs would find a way to shut him down, and, you know, the internal locker room dynamics would...
You think Lou could shut down Gloria? You're really the...
Lou Lamoriello would ship him out of town.
You got that big of a Leaf fetish?
He's Robita Island is where Wario Lemieux is gonna go.
You think that you could put fucking Wario on Robita Island, just have him walk around like Quebec City like that, and just nothing's gonna happen?
Well, don't you realize that Mario bests Wario in most instances? So maybe he isn't as successful.
Whenever head to head did that happen?
I don't know. Maybe when I'm playing Super Smash Brothers, bro.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count at all.
I think I'd take the risk as well, for being honest here. I would want Mario Lemieux on my team at any point in time, and I would want for that to happen. I think that the question's a good one. If you had a sabotaging person, but are they a package, or could you just release Wario at any point in time?
You could release Wario from the team, but... Like, he could easily just come back and kill somebody or something.
Alright! Beautiful!
This is devolving so quickly.
So just imagine, like, you're in the dressing room and fucking John Tortorella's trying to give a speech, and then this happens and the lights go out, and then all of a sudden Seth Jones' head's cut off.
I hate you so much, Cam. I hate you so much.
I fucking suck. This is why Cap Friendly is so much better than NHL numbers, and it's purely this. It's entirely my fault.
This is thrown off the podcast a lot, but I appreciate it. I want you to come into every single episode with a question like this.
We need more questions like this. I don't know how I can top this one. I think this is largely the...
So you're saying it's going all downhill, but I mean, yes. I think it's kind of been like the theme of this podcast since we started it anyway. It's pretty good. Downhill ever since. Aye. One last question I want to ask you guys before we go. How excited are you guys for the expansion draft? I'm kind of getting hyped for it. I'm like really, really starting to get excited, and I'm kind of just a nerd about it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Cam, Adam, what do you think? Adam?
Yeah, I actually made my like Vegas team online on Cap Friendly today. And it's kind of interesting. I think McPhee and crew have kind of about, you know, six different paths which they can go. Like, the path that I took was get short-term deals, so you have a lot of flexibility. You're not going to be getting any superstars. Like, you're getting quality players, but they're going to have to obviously, you know, draft and maybe pull in a big UFA or two, pull some creative trades. Like, they have a whole whack of draft picks, so they maybe, you know, if they want to trade it first for a quality player, that kind of thing. But I think it'll be really interesting to see what sort of thing they do, and whatever they do, it's definitely going to get criticized by everyone.
I tend to
agree. Even when they sign Kovalchuk, I don't think anybody will criticize that.
Bro, he's got to be traded to them. So they got to give something up. They can't give this year's picks up because obviously, you know, there's a lot of other things that are going on there that make sure that it's not going to be able to happen. But I think that they could do something fun with Kovalchuk. I think that they could do it. I want to make sure that they, like, have this insane Russian team. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Basically, just a KHL team in the NHL, and just be like, all right, let's see how this goes.
Trump's the coach.
I would mind it for Michael Flynn is the person in charge of the power play. We can have the entire cabinet in there.
Wario Lemieux on the team too.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. What if they signed Wario Lemieux?
What if they got Wario Lemieux? The Leafs, in order to get rid of Wario Lemieux, let him go in the expansion draft, and Lord knows what he's gonna do next.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Well, are you excited for the expansion draft, Cam?
Yeah. I'm about as excited as you could be for an expansion draft, in which I'm excited for a good solid 45 minutes of good Twitter.
Just good Twitter.
Whenever there's actually things happening and it's just purely reactions to things happening, and people on that website don't have time to overthink it and try and force analysis and bullshit, which people tend to do all day, then it's good. Like, during the draft lottery, when New Jersey went up to first overall and me and about 36 other people all tweeted, you have to view it as Taylor Hall for Adam Taylor Hall and the first overall pick for Adam Larson. And it was just like some good funny shit, and there wasn't enough time for people to be lame as balls and say, oh, Patrick Laine isn't actually that good because he scored 36 goals, but goals don't actually matter, blah, 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 blah. And just, like, garbage takes that, like, make me want to bury my face in the sand. So, like, it's just another, like, it's another good thing happening. Free agency frenzy, the draft, expansion draft, award show. There's, like, four things in, like, a week and a half. That'll be fun.
That'll be fun. I'm excited for the expansion draft just to kind of see where everything's going to happen. I don't think they're going to be a great team. I think they may have a pretty good defense. I think their forward corps, no matter what, is going to be pretty average. I think they're going to have pretty much, like, four third lines. And if they can get Kovalchuk and... It's not Dadonov, is it? Who is it?
Shipachev.
Shipachev.
I don't know.
Fuck it. Yeah, dude. Reed
Duke.
Reed Duke. No, I think there will be a fun team to watch, and I think a lot of people are going to be making their way out there. I'm really excited for the Las Vegas team to be a part of all this.
Are you going
to
make your way out there?
Am I? I'm sure I will at some point in time. Probably not next year in the expansion year. But actually, I may. There's... I've been looking over the past couple weeks just at flights in general, and $80 flights from Columbus to Las Vegas round trip.
The fuck? $80? Really?
Yeah.
You can even buy Wendy's for $80 here.
Whew. Gotta love... Nobody loves Wendy's more than Cam and I. Is that true, Cam?
Yeah. I'm a fan of Wendy's, but it doesn't cripple my body like it does to you.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that generally doesn't happen. We were supposed to record earlier. Anybody that's listening in that we were... I got sick from some Wendy's, and I was out for with a lower body injury and an upper body.
Somebody was sabotaging you.
Maybe it was you. You didn't want this podcast to happen. I wouldn't blame you.
It was Wario.
God damn it! And on that note, you can follow Cam at Coom. You can follow Adam at Adam _ Lascaris. You can follow me at Sam _Blazer. For Adam and Cam, I'm Sam. Until next time.